Good morning. It's good that we can meet together, albeit through these recordings. You will have received by now the suggested new constitution. We ask you to read it and then to reply whether you accept it or not. Simply yes or no. And you can give that vote either by telephone, either on the website, either by email, or in any way that you like. But we would like those replies as soon as possible. I'm very thankful to Bruce Barker for the way that he has recorded the next few services. This is so that we can get through a situation that at the moment has become rather difficult. It also means that we will not be going to the pub on Sunday week, but we will be recording until approximately the 13th of June. We're now going to start by singing the hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Holy, holy, holy.
Let us come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, our wonderful God, we come to you. We come to worship you. We love you. We want to honor you. We want to obey you. We want, Lord, to see your name proclaimed. And so, Lord, we say to you today, you alone are worthy of our praise. And we want you to receive the glory for all that you are doing through the world, through the community, and through our church. We cannot thank you enough, Lord, because you are the one true and only living God, and we adore you. Amen. Now we're going to sing the next song, I the Lord of Sea and Sky.
I have heard my people cry, all who dwell.
come to our Lord again in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the beauty and the wonder of your world. We know, Lord, that there are many things happening in the world today that are not of your making. And Lord, we pray concerning the COVID business. We pray for the situation in India. Lord, how we pray that the nation of India will be able to conquer this horrible virus. And Lord, we pray for people coming into this country, Lord, maybe with the infection. We pray, Lord, that we will be able to deal with that. Oh Lord, it's a difficult time for all nations at the moment. Various decisions have to be made, and we pray that you would give wisdom to leaders of the nations, to the health workers, to the volunteers, and all that are involved in dealing with this pandemic. Lord, we also pray for our own country. We pray for our Queen. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to give her strength and wisdom. We pray for all local authorities. We pray for those who recently been elected. Lord, we pray that they may listen to you, that they may use your wisdom. Lord, we pray for the church. We pray for the church throughout the world. We pray for the church in this country. And we pray for the Willows Church. Lord, we thank you for the way that you have guided us so far. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us, that we might be empty of self and full of the Spirit. So, Lord, will you work in and through us? Will you be with our families and friends? Be with those who are lonely. Be with those who are not well. Be with those that are worried about the future. Lord, would you be with every member of our church and their families? Would you keep us all strong? And Lord, give us the joy of serving you. So Lord, would you equip and empower us that we might honor you within your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our reading today is Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 17. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory.
And now we sing Spirit of the Living God. Message: what does the Spirit do for us? As you will know, next Sunday is Pentecost, and we'll be looking at the work of the Spirit again then. But today, what does the Spirit do for us? Romans 8, verse 7. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. The very first word of that text is if. Yes, if. How do we know? Well, I can tell you this. The Spirit lives in all true believers. Jesus, in John 14, promises the Spirit to all who love and obey him. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16 says this, don't you know that you are God's temple and that the Holy Spirit lives in you? In our text, we are assured that we too will rise to be with God. But in the meantime, I pose this question. What does the Spirit do for us? And I share three thoughts drawn from verses 12 to 17. Number one, verses 12 to 13, we live by the Spirit. The old life is over. A true believer is born again. A new life begins. We die to self and we live for Christ. We overcome the temptations of the past by the power of the indwelling Spirit. The old life with all its idols, the new life with all its blessings. You know, we are weak. We are sinful. How then does changes come? Because, my friends, the Spirit is in control of our lives. Hence, we have no fear of condemnation, because the Spirit's power is available to us. As the Bible says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And you know, when we're baptized as believers, we go down in the water, and we come up. To live by the Spirit will mean that we yield to God's government for our lives. The Christian lives for eternity, the non-believers only for a time. Number 2, verse 14, we are led by the Spirit. Yes. Led by the Spirit, not drawn as beasts, but gently and sweetly led into all truth and duty. A dog following two people, it's only when they part that we know who the master is. If we are led by the Spirit, although we are part of the world and mixed with unbelievers, the fact that we are led by the Spirit of God will reveal itself in our manner, in our character, and in our actions. We are all freed with making many decisions, with choosing, with doing, concerning many issues. But led by the Spirit, we will make the right decisions. We might choose the right paths and we will do the right things. It is said that in the deserts of Arabia, there is a certain guide who never loses his way. He carries with him a homing pigeon with a very fine cord attached to one leg. When in any doubt as to which path to take, the guide throws the bird into the air. The pigeon quickly strains at the cord to fly in the direction of home, and in that manner he leads his master correctly. They call that guide the Dove Man. So too, my friends, the Holy Spirit is the heavenly dove. He is willing and able to lead us if we will only allow him to do so. We must be humble. There must be self-denial and submission, following the Spirit's faithful guidance. Those who are truly led by the Spirit have a reward because we become God's children. And then third, verses 15 to 17, we are liberated by the Spirit. Liberated? Yes, we're set free. We're no longer slaves. We do not receive a spirit that makes us the slave of fear, but we receive the Spirit of adoption. And adoption here refers to the work of God's grace, by which he receives us as his very own children through Christ and in union with him. Adoption implies that Christian life is firstly life with God as Father. Secondly, it is also life with other believers as brothers and sisters. Thirdly, it means life with Christ as our elder brother. You see, finally, we are heirs of God. Freely, he gives us the right to share in the coming glory of our Lord himself. And so, my friends, may we truly live by the Spirit. May we be led by the Spirit, and may we be liberated by the Spirit. Let us be empty of self and full of the Spirit. Amen. Now we're going to sing Spirit of God Divine.
Fill me again.
Let us pray. May we know the peace of God. May we know the power of the Spirit within. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Spirit, be with us and those that we love, both now and forevermore. Amen.